Thank you, Pastor Mike. It's a joy to be back with you here at Lakeview. We're thankful for God's arrangements and rearrangements in life. And we thank Him for the privilege to gather together in this fashion. I was thinking tonight as the pastor was talking about how long we've been knowing each other. He knows so much about me, I'm shocked that he'd have me come. I know so much about him, I'm shocked I would come. No, that's not true. Oh my, let's get in the altar already. God bless your hearts. I've enjoyed the good singing and the Lord directing us in his paths. Your pastor mentioned my writings. We just recently came out with volume 2 of Paths Ponderings. These are 30 more devotional meditations on the names and portraits of Christ. Along this time last year, we were able to get out volume 1. And I love to say this. I put volume 1 on it and pushed myself up in a corner, see. Had to come out with volume 2. And my plans are, there's over 200 names of Christ, portraits and names of Christ. My plans are to do 5 of these, about 150 of Christ's names. The more names you know of a person, the more you know that individual. And I want to know more about my Lord. And the older I get, the more I want to be Christ-centered and Christ-oriented. And this is a way to do it. This is a book full of Jesus, magnifying Jesus. So they're $10 each. I got this from Billy Kelly years ago. Now that he's passed, I adopted it. The president of our ministry said I had to ask $10 per copy. Of course, I am the president of our ministry. So, if you're interested, we have, I think, about 10 of them out there tonight. Kathy says hello to everyone. We have had whatever the bug is, we've had it. And I began to perk up a little bit yesterday, and I think she's perked up a little this afternoon. If she didn't, she pushed herself a little to get some of the Christmas decorations out of the picture. So remember us. We begin our meetings again this coming Lord's Day. We've been off a couple of weeks just preaching our Sunday 1 week and Sunday and Wednesday this week. And we began meeting on Sunday morning near Hartsville, South Carolina, down towards the Darlington area. Be there Sunday through Wednesday. And then, God willing, we head to Florida for about 5 weeks. A friend of mine said, Tom, what is this about going to Florida? I said, it sounds like the perfect will of God, doesn't it? But, of course, we've had warm temperatures here. And so remember us. Be in several churches. Kathy will be coming back home after a couple of weeks. She gets cabin fever. And I just keep writing and saying, yes, ma'am. No, I can't do that now. And so she comes home after a little while. So you remember us in your prayers. In fact, we have a rather full schedule through March, and we're grateful. I don't think I've said this enough here, but there have been days when my schedule looked very bleak, and your pastor and you as a people opened your hearts to us. And I do not take it lightly. I'm grateful and thankful. One of my preacher boys said to me on the phone, he said, "Now, where are you going to be Wednesday?" I said, "I'm going back to that church that let me preach for a year on the person and work of Christ." He said, "I remember that." And if it's right, I preached 20 lessons on the person and work of Christ. And I believe I came on a Sunday, maybe two, that same year. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I praise the Lord for a bond here with you at Lakeview. I've wrestled in my heart about what to do tonight. I don't think that I was wrestling about what to preach. But it's a little lengthy, and I've been wrestling about how I can condense it. And years ago, good night, maybe 25 years ago, I preached some on what I called the claims of Christ. Jesus said, one of his claims, I came, indicating he had not always been here. And then he said, I must. You remember some of those? He said to Zacchaeus, I must be at thy house today. And then he had some I haves. I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. I think I've preached about 10 or 12 of them. And recently, the I am claims became precious and real to me again. And I'm going to run through the seven that are mentioned in John's gospel tonight. I'll not preach the entire gospel of John, and all the people said amen. But I do want to at least mention these names, and as we come to the threshold of a new year, I'd like to magnify the sufficiency of Jesus. Life is constantly a battle, isn't it? I mean, for unsaved and saved, there are things in life that we have to face. We have to war our way through. And the poor sinner has no arm on which to lean. But you and I have the living Christ. He is our sufficiency. He is the great I am. He's all that we need. He's everything. I'm going to read the first I am statement in John's gospel. Actually, there are more than seven I am statements, but there are seven of them that have been called the great I ams because they're attached to certain objects. You'll see that tonight, or certain truths. We begin in John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now there are names that were given to Christ by his Father. And those names are transferred through prophecies and other statements. Take this one, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That is a prophecy. And yet is a messianic prophecy. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Jesus did not say, I am wonderful. No, this name was given by the Father through prophecy. Then there are names that are given by people. He is referred to as the friend of sinners. He did not give that name to himself. But others attributed his friendship to sinners, underlined it, attributed this reality to Christ. But there are some, what I am calling, self-revelations of Christ. Here he said, I am. That's a self-revelation. I went out to eat with my middle daughter today, who's in from California. She's been sick the entire Christmas season and she's been here and not been able to see anyone. And she said, before we leave the restaurant, out here at the front in the foyer, I want to get a selfie. And so she took a picture of herself and Dad there at the restaurant. Actually, she took several selfies because she wasn't pleased. She cut her head off in one, cut mine off in one, and redid it. Can I say this reverently? These I am statements of Jesus, not only in John, but in the book of the Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am the bright and the morning star. There's several. These are the selfies, the holy selfies of Christ. Self-revelations. Or, if you prefer, self-description. I'm not sure where this came. Some time ago, I used the word about names that I have, names that I go by. And we call some of our names, we call that self-coinage. We made up the name as a child. These names are self-coinage names. Jesus says, I am. And then he gives this wonderful statement. It magnifies his adequacy, his sufficiency. And so basically, from the Old Testament, when God said, I am, he was saying, I am whatever you need. Now Jesus fills in the blank check, so to speak. I am. And then he gives these self-revelation titles. Briefly, let's look at them. Here Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now we know bread is referred to as the staff of life. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Because bread has to do with our eating, I'm going to say firstly, Jesus is all we need for our spiritual appetite. Now I have a bread problem. I used to think it was just an eating problem. But I have a bread problem. I like it hot. I like it cold. I like it homemade. I like it store-bought. I like it hard. I learned that overseas. And I like it soft. I like it in the morning for lunch and for the evening meal and maybe some before I go to bed if I'm not careful. I have an insatiable appetite for bread. Yet they tell me that it's not very good for you to eat a lot of bread. So I'm constantly struggling with this. Yet Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Indicating in the spiritual realm, bread is good for us. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Partake of me, he says. Eat of me. Live on me. Now he's called several other names here in this chapter. He's the bread of life. He's the true bread. He's the bread of God that came down from heaven. He is the living bread. And that is for our spiritual appetite. in this next year. May God help us to appropriate, to take into our lives the sufficiency of Christ, for He is all we need for our spiritual appetite. Then if you turn over to chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus has just said to the woman that they brought to Him, taken in the act of adultery, He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, those two statements often are used separately, but they go together. If you just say, "Neither do I condemn thee," it might sound as though you condone sin. If you only say, "Go and sin no more," it may indicate that you are overlooking mercy and failing to be merciful to sinners. "Neither do I condemn thee." But having said that, Jesus spake again, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Here, Jesus said, "I'm not only all you need for your spiritual appetite, I am the bread of life, but I'm all you need for your spiritual awareness. I am the light of the world. I am your illumination." Sometimes we look for others to illuminate us and to give us light when we already have sufficient light in Christ. "I am the light of the world." And then He said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The life is a person. I am the light of the world, but it's also a possession. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He gives us light in a dark world, but He gives us light for the darkness within us as well as the darkness without us. The same "I am" statement is repeated in chapter 9. There are several of them that come two times. Chapter 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Of course, he said in verse number 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." I quote that verse to myself often, especially on a day when my mind and my body and my spirit are resisting writing. I know that God put me in this world to preach, but I have a yearning to write. And some days it's not there like I want it to be. And so I say out loud to myself, "Work while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work." Of course, he was referring to more than darkness at the end of the day. So Christ is the light of the world. We need more than GE light, Sylvania light, Walmart light, whatever kind of light they would make. We need Christ's light. "I am the light of the world." The indication is we don't know where to go without Him. To follow Him is to have the light of life. Then would you come with me to chapter 10? Here we have the third "I am" claim of Christ. Chapter 10 and verse 9. Here Jesus says, thirdly, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now this one is repeated also. Look at verse 7. I am the door of the sheep. Now since he's talking about us being saved, going in and out and finding pasture, I would use this term. He is not only all we need for our spiritual appetite, I am the bread of life. And all we need for our spiritual awareness, I am the light of the world. But he's all we need for our spiritual access. I am the door. Now, traveling as I have these years, I've often heard people say, I'm praying for doors. I'm praying that God would open doors. Well, Paul said something to that effect, that a door of utterance might be opened unto him. Certainly we understand that, speaking of opportunities, of service. And yet in one sense, Jesus is saying, I'm all the door you need for service. I'm all you need for spiritual access. You can go in and out and find pasture. To me, this is a priestly emphasis. The high priest would go in and come out. And we are not only his sheep, but we are his people, his priestly people. And we can go in and out and find pasture, or find satisfaction. Listen, there is satisfaction in Christ and in his service, because he is the door. Then come down to verse 11. Here we have a fourth I am claim of Christ. I am the good shepherd. In fact, he uses these three terms, the good shepherd, three times. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He gives himself to us that we might give ourselves to him. He knows us and claims us that we may know and claim him. So I use this word. He is all we need for our spiritual assurance. Somebody said, I've underlined that verse that they read me the night I was saved. There's no assurance in a verse that is underlined. And someone say, I remember where I prayed. There's no assurance in a place or a time. I've talked to many people who had a place and a time, so-called, but they were full of doubt. Then how do we have assurance, Tom? We look to him who is our shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Well, Tom, how do you know that he's your shepherd? How did you know that your mama was your mama? Because I'll tell you how I knew mine. After a while, I realized when she would say, no, she was talking to me. And when she would say, that's good, she was talking to me. When she fed me, she cared for me. She was my mother. May I say, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, speaks to us as his sheep. He rebukes us when we do wrong. He encourages us when we do right. He feeds our spiritual man. He takes care of us. He's all we need for spiritual assurance. Then come, by the way, that very phrase comes twice. I am the light of the world was said twice. I am the door. Now I am the good shepherd. Now, if you'll turn with me to the next chapter, John chapter 11. This is the chapter that involves Lazarus' death, burial, and resurrection. You remember Jesus raised three people from the dead. One was a small child. One was a young man, the young man from Nain. And then another was a fully grown, fully developed man, Lazarus. It's a reminder that the Lord Jesus can save young ones and middle-aged ones and older ones. His salvation is complete. Here in chapter 25, Martha has been concerned why Jesus hasn't been here. And he said to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, I believe Martha was a bona fide Baptist. For she lived in the past 1 minute and lived in the future the next and missed Jesus in the right now. She said, where have you been? Past tense. I know that we'll see him again in the resurrection, future tense. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm all you need for your spiritual authority. Came to my heart some years ago, as the resurrection, Jesus can bring Lazarus up from the grave. As the life, he can keep him up from the grave. The same Christ who saves us keeps us. And so there's authority in this. I am the resurrection and the life. I haven't just come to pay you a friendly visit. After your dark times, Martha, I've come as the resurrection and the life. The authority of God. The authority of heaven. Then if you'll turn with me to chapter 14. I believe I quote this verse more than John 3:16. Preaching every week as I have through the years. And now again, for which I'm grateful for every opportunity. There are some verses that come to you, especially when you're given a gospel emphasis. This one seems to be the one that is real to me when I'm preaching the gospel. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am all you need for your spiritual advancement. He talked about advancing to the Father's house. Then further in the chapter, though the word heart is not mentioned, we're certainly taught how we can advance to the Father's heart. He is all we need for spiritual advancement. Now, the tabernacle in the Old Testament had three entrances or three doors. You had the outside gate, you had the inner door, and then you had the veil behind which the high priest entered once a year, only once a year. So to get to the mercy seat, you had to come through the gate, through the door, and through the veil, or behind the veil. Jesus said, watch it now, I am the way, there's the gate, the truth, there's the door, and the life, there's the veil. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's all we need for our spiritual advancement. Somebody said, I want you to pray for me that I'll grow in grace this next year. Well, you need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus. That's your advancement. That's your maturity. That's our progression. Is in Christ. The truth, the way, and the life. And then lastly in chapter 15, mentioned twice, Jesus said, I am the vine. In verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. and my father is the husbandman. Then in verse number 5, he said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Here Jesus is saying, I am all you need for your spiritual abundance. I am the vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's abundance. Of course, you understand the emphasis here is our oneness, our union with Christ. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're joined to Him. And the life that flows in Him flows in us. He's our life. And He would enable us to bear much fruit. I think I've told you I worked in apples all of my youthful years and even a couple of times when I first started in evangelism, when I had a couple of cancellations during the apple season. They let me do the grown-up thing. Then I got to drive the tractor. But I have never been on any row of apples in any orchard, whether that row was Stamen or Golden or Red Delicious or Yorks or whatever. Now they've got 40 other titles. No Granny Smith is not a title. That's a woman. Whatever. I've told myself 15 times or more going down to Atlanta when I see the advertisement there to where they make those apple pies. They'll give you tours. And I've always wanted to do that, and I always seem to not have the time or do not make the time or arrange the time. But I have never heard one apple tree on any row in the orchard saying, oh, pray for me that I'll bear more fruit. No, bearing more fruit is not in grunting and groaning and trying to do better. How does the apple tree bear fruit? By cooperating with the flow of the sap. And how do you and I bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit? By cooperating with the work and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's only the life of Christ that can produce fruit. You don't have to agree with this, but I have said for some time now that this is a wrong and erroneous statement in spiritual reality. We say the fruit of one Christian is another Christian. How can that be when we can't produce life? The fruit of one tree is not another tree. The fruit of one tree is fruit. And the fruit of one Christian is fruit, bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit being yielded through our lives. Now, inside the fruit, there's seeds, and there's the potential for another tree. May I say the fruit of one Christian is not another Christian. The fruit of one Christian is the potential of another Christian. God planting the seeds of life into other people. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Can I go over them all one more time? I'm all you need for your spiritual appetite. I am the bread of life. I'm all you need for your spiritual awareness. I am the light of the world. I'm all you need for your spiritual access. I am the door. I am, number 4, all you need for your spiritual assurance. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of them. Number five, I am all you need for spiritual authority. I am the resurrection and the life. Number six, I am all you need for your spiritual advancement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, I am all you need for your spiritual abundance. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He's all we need. Oh, in this next year, may God enable us to take of the sufficiency of Christ daily, hourly, moment by moment. I love the little illustration that Charles Spurgeon gave of divine sufficiency. He said, can you imagine a little mouse in the granaries of Egypt, of Joseph in Egypt, afraid lest it might consume all the corn, exhaust all the supplies? He added another illustration, said, can you imagine a boy taking his sand bucket down to the seashore and saying, I wonder if I can fill up my bucket here. Oh, there's an abundance of corn in the granary. There's an abundance of sand on the seashore. And there is an abundance in Christ for every need in our lives. He takes the blank check, I am, and fills it in and says, I am the bread of life, and so on. May somehow the Spirit of God enable us to know His fullness and His sufficiency. Our Father, accept our gratitude for this time in Thy Word. We pray that Thou wouldst take these I am revelations, the self-description, self-coinage of Christ, and help us to see that we do not have to grunt and groan all the way to heaven. We have a sufficient Christ. We have a more than adequate Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill our lives with Thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.